Prince está muerto. Prince está muerto. Sometimes it snows in April.
In a word to you, I wanna do no not your body. What's going on, everybody? Check it out. This is the special episode we are doing tonight of Guess What You're Wrong. Nice shirt there you got, Martina. Oh, you're muted. There you go. Look at that. Guess what? You're wrong. Now, it is a horror movie podcast, but the tagline is that horror movies, prints, and shine. I got my shine. I'm going to talk some prints. So this is a special episode that I've actually been tossing around for quite a while. I thought it was more than appropriate to have Martina on here because she has a company that's called Purple Rain Candle Company. Spectacular. So this episode is actually coming out on April 21st. And anybody that knows or is a fan or part of the Prince family knows that is a very, very important day. It's the day he died. It's the anniversary of the day he died. But instead of mourning or feeling sorry again on that day, because we do that every year, I had the idea of sharing stories, uplifting, positive stories that we have about the man or his music. I got a couple of audio recordings. We're going to play in a little bit here. Before we get into it too far, Martina, how long have you been a fan of Prince?
Oh, man, it's hard. First of all, can you hear me okay?
Spectacular.
Perfect. So it's hard to say this without dating myself, but I remember as a kid, he had no name. He was just the artist formerly known as with a logo. And I remember hearing his music all throughout the home. My parents loved his music, and they would tell me these stories of how when they were dating, they used to go to Prince concerts. So pretty much my whole entire life, I've heard about him. And I genuinely do love the color purple. I always have. And of course, he's known as the purple one. So I feel like Prince has just always been a part of my life somehow.
Awesome. And speaking of your parents, I do have a video that I really want to play right now. That's your mother, of your mother.
Mm-hmm.
Are you prepared for this? You've seen this video.
No, I have not. I did not watch
it. You haven't?
I have not watched
it. All right.
We'll watch it at the same time.
Here we go.
Okay. Hi, everyone. My name is Verlinda, and I come to you and give you my Prince experience. My husband and I grew up, of course, in the 70s and 80s and used to listen to a lot of his music, enjoyed it, used to dance to it, sing to it, went to a lot of his concerts. And, of course, the date of his death is significant. In sad ways, but significant to us because, again, we grew up with listening to his music, but also it is our wedding anniversary. It's our 45th wedding anniversary. And as we celebrate his life and his legacy, we also celebrate our anniversary. And I had to think about some, you know, not just listening to his music and how unique it was and how unique he was. But I had to look at all the things that he did. He actually was a singer, multi-instrumentalist, songwriter, record producer, and actor. And he grew into all of those things, and he started at such a young age. And his music was very unique and different in its own right. And I still say he was ahead of his time. And we celebrate you, Prince. Thank you for your contribution. And My all-time favorite Prince songs were Little Red Corvette and Purple Rain, of course. All things purple. Thank you.
Wow.
That's my mom.
That is your mom. That's awesome. That's a good story. And I had to, when she was like, we used to dance and we used to sing. Man, I remember growing up, being younger. I'm still kind of young. And hearing Prince's music, it did that. It made you want to dance and sing. You know? Good stuff, Mom. Good stuff.
Mm-hmm. I can verify she is telling the truth. To this very day, she'll... a song of his will play and she's like, oh, I remember when he performed this at the like, she's not kidding. Like, I can verify, good fact check, she's telling the truth.
So what are some of your favorite songs?
I'm gonna be cliche, but I really must say that Purple Rain really is my favorite song of his. And because it has been sampled so much, it has been covered so much, never as well, by the way. Never is good. And I feel like it's the quintessential song. Like, even people who don't know his discography like that, they know that song. Yep. And I just feel like it's like the perfect, you know, like every artist has a song that they're known for. Like, I think of like Whitney Houston, like I'll Always Love You, or you think of Michael Jackson, you think of Beat It. Like, I think that's like his song that most people know him through. And when you listen to that song, like, wow, he really was amazingly talented. Like, the writing, the instruments, the intricacies of the chords. And I must say, I do genuinely love The Color Purple because it's the color of royalty. And he's Prince, so how fitting. And it's also, if you're into, like, metaphysical stuff, it's the color for the head chakra. And so the fact that he was such a brilliant mind, it's just so much at play. And can I say one more thing, too?
Absolutely.
This is a fun fact about me. So, you know, he's all about the number 7. And so I have always considered 7 to be my lucky number, like, other aside from like the cliche of it, because my first, middle, and last names all have 7 letters. And I've just always loved the number 7. And I consider it to be like a lucky number for me. And so, like, his song 7, that's probably my second favorite.
Nice. That album. That's the Love Symbol album. That's got some. I mean, the first song it opens up with, My Name is Prince. And that song is, wow, you know, on a Seventh Day God, you know, wow. He made me. That's a spectacular album. Favorite songs. I mean, in that intro were some of my favorite songs. I mean, that's, I specifically cut bits and pieces out of some of the favorite songs, some of the, my favorite work that he has done. I got to say, one of my favorite songs that every time I hear it, it takes me back is that song, She's Always in My Hair. And that, and whenever, it doesn't matter what I'm doing. You've seen these videos of people in a grocery store and a song comes on and they're just like, if that song ever comes on and I'm somewhere, I stop. I don't care who's around and I start singing. I get the looks. I get the side eyes. I don't care. It's one of my all-time favorite Prince songs is She's Always in My Hair. Now, I get one of the things that I get a lot is that, oh, you don't look like the type of person that would listen to Prince. And I mean, I'm all tattooed up, got a beard. I don't get that because anybody can listen to Prince.
Yeah, he was pretty universal. I don't think there is a stereotypical Prince fan because,
well, honestly, I hear that from a lot of younger people is what I hear it from. They want to put those stereotypical things on people, you know, younger group. So
yeah, I don't really think there is, at least to my knowledge, because I too have met, you know, since I have, you know, shameless plug, my business is Purple Rain Candle Company. And I have been out and about and I've had people of all ages, all races, men, women, old, young, people like, oh man, Purple Rain, I love Prince. Or they'll just start singing his songs. And in my, you know, I've had my company for 3 years and I've met all kinds of people who are like, oh man, you know. And another thing too, that I feel like his body of work is just so vast, you know. Oh, yeah. He has so many songs and so many albums. And something I must say about him, as recent as a couple months ago, I feel like every few months I find a song that he's written for someone else. Like, for example, I did not know that song. It's just another manic Monday.
Yeah, it's the Bengals.
I did not know that was his song.
Was that the Bengals?
I've always heard women singing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've always heard women singing it. And I remember the DJ, like, I was listening to some station. The DJ was like, one of Prince's many hits that he wrote for other people. I was like, what? I didn't even know that was one. Like,
there's even... What album that's on? It's released. An album was released that where he's singing his version of the song.
Mm-hmm. They played a clip of it, and I was like, "Oh man, yeah. I had no idea."
Good stuff. I mean, he did that that one song that made Sinead O'Connor a hit. You know, nothing mm-hmm. compares to you.
Yeah, nothing compares to you.
Would she have been that big of a star if it wasn't for that song? You know,
and probably. That's the only song of hers I know.
I know that later on she had a lot of bad things to say about Prince and how their relationship was. But there was a thing when Prince was, I heard somewhere Prince was playing that song at a concert and they're like, oh, you're playing a Sinead O'Connor. He's like, no, I'm playing my song that I wrote that she record, that I let her record. You know, there's a vast body of work out there. I mean, you can do some research and find, tens of dozens of songs that he's written for other artists that they've got done really good with. You know, he did a song for Chaka Khan, Tevin Campbell. You know, there's the list is, I think he even wrote a song that was recorded by a country artist too, if I remember correctly.
I think you're right about that.
I don't recall, but
that sounds familiar.
But
can I say something else about him that I think how a lot of younger people know him? This tickles me because have you seen the memes and the GIFs with like Shady Prince?
No.
I think that's how a lot of younger, when I say younger, I would say like 21, 25 and under, they probably know him from his GIFs from like, for example, a few years ago, Trey Songz attempted to cover Purple Rain very badly. He does not have the range. And there was this really infamous clip of Prince sitting in the audience watching this performance. And his face, if you get a chance, just Google like Prince reacting to Trey Songz's performance. And his face, I love how he did not put on airs. He was not trying to be polite. He was literally like, he's like looking around and like side eyeing. And I think that's how a lot of people know him, because they've made that into a whole meme. You know how people take a clip and put it on anything. And he was so shady.
I know that there was a time that I've seen the clips of where Alicia Keys is on stage performing one of his songs. And they show him in the audience. And at first he's kind of like, I don't know. But then she does it good. And he's
she's pregnant too, because she's climbing on the piano very heavily.
Oh, yeah.
And he's kind of like, she's another one that covered one of his songs too.
Yeah. And, you know, after he died, there was a bunch of tributes that came out. You know, I think BET had one, VH1 had one. I watched them all, of course. My favorite, I think, of all the tributes to him was probably Janelle Monáe.
Oh yeah,
she came out with those chaps and everything, dude. That performance that she did, I was like, yeah.
That was good. Haven't seen that particular one, but I've seen other ones that she's done. And I remember when she first came out, she said he was one of her biggest influences. So I can imagine that would be excellent.
Yeah. I like some Janelle Monáe. Damn. Anyway.
Yeah, she's extremely talented.
So experiences with his music. Do you have any significant experiences?
Experiences. I would definitely say when I think of, I would say, yes, I remember it. And honestly, I don't even remember who this was, because I've been to a lot of funerals in my day. But I remember when I was a little girl, some family member passed, and I remember them playing Purple Rain at the funeral. Mm. And that was one of the first times me hearing, I was like, wow, like, this guy really had an impact on people's life. Like that being played, if, you know, as a part of your funeral service, you know, I was like, wow, that was something where I was like, man, like his, you know, you have certain artists where it's more than show business. It's more than music. Their music is like personal. And I think Michael Jackson has that impact on people. I say Beyonce has that impact on people, that like people go hard for them. Like they really like, they have whole huge fan bases.
And unfortunately, Taylor Swift has that too.
She does. She does.
I'm not a big fan of Taylor Swift.
My thoughts on her. But yes, she does. She absolutely does. And that's not to be shady to her, but I'm just going to be completely honest with you. I only know her songs that they play on the radio, so I can't personally say like I know her work like that. But the three that I named, like Michael Jackson, Prince, Beyonce, I could definitely say that, yeah, I know their work like that.
Yeah, now, I remember the first time that I listened to Prince. This was 1980. It would have been the fall of 84. That's how old I am.
Wow. Oh, man.
The fall of 1984. I never would have listened to Prince. But back then, it was a big thing was, you know, they had these parents groups that were complaining about different artists. Oh, the language that they have in their group. One of my best friends, his mother, Gaylene Olson, rest in peace, she came over to talk to my mom about making sure what we shouldn't be listening to. And I'm sitting there on the couch listening to them. And she says, have you heard of this Prince guy? He has a song about some girl masturbating.
Oh, and I'm like,
I'm 10 years old.
You're like,
I'm like, and you know, when my mom turns to me, you better not be listening to that stuff.
No.
But you know, when they tell you, you're not going to, what are you going to do?
She might as well have just put it in your hand.
First thing I did the very next day, I'm not going to tell you how I got it, but I got the cassette tape, Purple Rain. It may not have been from legitimate reasons or ways, but I got it. And dude, since that point, it's been a long ride since I was 10 years old. I was
been hooked ever since.
That was 40 years ago. 40 years.
Oh, man.
I just turned 50. Man. So, man, I'm hurting. Oh, my back hurts now. yeah. So, I mean, I owe, and every time I see my mom too, I always thank her. You know, if it wasn't for you, mom, I never would have listened to this man. I never would have gotten that. So I'm very, very, very happy about that. So what made you choose Purple Rain for your candle company?
I'm so glad you asked. So as I said, purple really, truly, legitimately is my favorite color, has been since I was a kid. Mm-hmm. And, you know, me being the person that I am, I was like, okay, I want to start this business. And I'm Googling and I'm looking it up. Like, I've learned from seeing other people. They're like, okay, before you start getting too emotionally attached to something, Google it and see if it exists. So the idea popped in my head and okay, I'm going to say something here. So anyone who knows me knows that I love wrestling. So it's very difficult for me to talk about any aspect of my life without involving wrestling. And here it comes. So I do love France. I'm a huge fan of the color purple. And I also love Roman Reigns, the wrestler. So I was like, okay, I'm trying to not get sued. How can I spell rain in a way that's not too weird, not too cheesy, but people will still like get it? And I was like, R-E-I-G-N, rain. Love Roman Reigns, love Prince. Let's do it. I'm Googling. I'm like, okay. It does not exist. Okay, website. Okay, nothing exists. So going through all, doing all my due diligence, I saw nothing existed. And I was like, turning it over in my mind. I was like, okay, what will the logo look like? And how will I say it? How will I present it? And so I just went with it. And I do a lot of vendor events and people are like, oh man, I love the name. That's really cool. And I wanted something that people, you know, that draws people in, you know, and people seem to really like it. And just kind of took it from there.
That's how I met you. And that's the only reason I approached you at that vendor event was because the name of your company was Purple Rain Candle Company. I was like, wait a minute. I think the first thing I did was see your Prince tattoo. I was like, look, we got a Prince tattoo.
I was so tickled. They like, you were not, you know, a lot of people say they have a tattoo, but like, no, I have a Prince tattoo. I was like, he really does. He really does. He's committed. Commitment.
I'm committed. I tell you. Or I should be committed. One of the two.
Kaboom.
Real quick here, I'm going to play another one of these audios that I got here. This guy is from France. Now, you know, I put some feelers out there on the different Facebook groups that are dedicated to Prince, asking people who would be interested in just giving a story. This guy from France hit me up. His name is Sharif B. Let's listen to what he's got to say.
My name is Sharif B, the dramatical Sharif B. Musician from France. I remember back in the days, I must have been 12 or 13 years old. I was watching a video of Prince, The Question of You, live in 1991. And it was really magical. He was sitting there playing and singing, and he just stood up on his piano to start an incredible guitar solo, alone in front of an audience of several thousand people. Can you just picture that? At that moment, the expression guitar hero took on its full meaning. That's when I knew I would become a musician and that one day, perhaps, I would also play amazing guitar solo. So at that particular time, we were very, very poor. So there was no question for us of buying a musical instrument. So I just took a piece of wood, sawed it into the shape of a guitar. I used fishing line of different thickness to make the strings, and the whole thing hung on my shoulders with a shoelace. That's a true story. I was watching the video over and over again and imitated each and every one of his gestures while during one day doing the same thing. His influences strongly felt in my music. His unique personality, his introverted side at times and extroverted at others, his great sense of humor, I always, always felt in tune with him. Prince is a greatly underestimated musician. I mean, to me, he is clearly of the caliber of Mozart, Bach, and Beethoven. A real complete artist who can be recognized by his unique style, defined by a symbol or a simple color. A real musical genius able to play all of his instruments. Throughout his career, he constantly reinvented himself and was able, as a result, to reach a very large audience who remained loyal to him. Often imitated but never equaled, he had influenced several generations of fans and artists. And as he said, a free spirit doesn't follow any rules. An invitation to fulfill oneself as a musician by disregarding establishing constraints. That was Sheriff B, the dramatical Sheriff B from France.
Wow. The guy made his own guitar.
That's incredible. That's incredible.
You know, he goes back and he mentions some stuff here that a lot of times, you know, when I'm talking about Prince to people that aren't necessarily huge Prince fans, I'll say he was a genius.
And absolutely.
They'll tell me, well, just because you like him doesn't mean. And I was like, no, he was literally, by the time he was 15 years old, I think he could play like 12 different instruments. You know, the guy was a musical genius. You know, he could play, like Sheriff B said, he could play all of his own instruments. I mean, he did. And I think his first couple albums, he played all his own instruments.
Oh, so, I have a story. So I grew up singing in church, very different from the content Prince say. But I was very inspired by, you know, his singing and, like you said, playing all the instruments, particularly piano. And I remember my parents being like, okay, you can sing, but you need to learn how to play an instrument too. Because they, like I said, they're diehard Prince fans. Like, you could, and this is, remembers when I was in high school was definitely, like I said, I'm dating myself, is the rise of like Alicia Keys being like a singer, songwriter, playing instruments, who was heavily influenced by Prince. So like, see, look at what she's doing. She's playing, she's singing. I was like, okay, I'm gonna learn how to play the piano. So I learned how to play the piano. Can I still play it today? Not exactly, but you know, I still dibble dabble in singing. And something about that, I can definitely see the influence too. Like that's one reason that I think he's so iconic is you can see and hear the influence over the decades.
Oh yeah,
like, from the 80s, 90s, early 2000s to, you know, and even today, like I was telling you, Damon, if anyone has listened to Beyonce's new album, Cowboy Carter, the very first song, American Requiem, you cannot help but to hear the Prince influence in that song. Like the YouTube comments, you know, it's got hundreds of thousands of comments and they're like, oh my God, the Prince influence, the Prince influence. And for those that don't know, Beyonce was a huge fan of Prince. She performed with him. She considered him like one of her greatest influences. And in that song, like with my eyes closed, I can hear it. Like he has so many riffs and, you know, his little shrieks and scream little things that he did and certain notes and just like guitar. I'm like, oh, I hear it. I hear it. I can always hear it. They're so unmistakable that you're like, you just know you like that's definitely Prince. You can hear
it. Yeah, after you told me about it, I listened to it a couple more times after that. I can definitely hear it in there. I'm just not a huge fan of Beyonce, of her voice. I don't know what it is. I tried listening to some of her songs. And I'm like, that song. But after listening to that song, I listened to it a few more times after I talked to you. After I listened to it, and I was like, yeah, I can.
I'm like, be careful. The Beehive is going to come for us. Like, don't get me wrong, I don't love every single song she's ever written by any chance. Like, no, I don't love every single song, but that particular song, because it's the very first song of the album, I was like, oh, I think out of all the songs I can think of in recent memory, that's one that I'm like, I think it did it justice, you know, of keeping his memory alive, because you know, people recognize it. Like, I'm not kidding, if you go to YouTube and type in American Requiem Beyonce, you will see yourself in the comments. I'm like helping to keep his legacy alive. It I'm sure that pushed some people to his content that maybe haven't heard it before. Like I said, Beyonce impacts a lot of younger people too, that maybe they don't know his body of work like that.
Well, they need to know. I'm telling you. And ever since my kids were born, all my kids, I listen to Prince around. And now there's some songs, obviously, you got to be like, oh, let's get past this one here.
Fast forward.
And, you know, there was, even in his early years when he had a lot of sex and, you know, a lot of torrid stuff that he sang about. At the same time, he also had other songs that were very God-centered. So he had this, he believed that there was this balance of sexuality and God love, you know, loving God. Mm-hmm. He believed that there was that balance there. And I'll just say he tried his hardest to find that balance.
He is a very unique artist. You're right. Because you're like, how could he be so sanctified and holy? So definitely not.
I mean, he saw that the whole act, you know, the whole sexual act thing as something holy. Mm-hmm. Which I can see that, you know. But
he's an interesting character.
I know that later on in his life, you know, there was people that always wanted him to play his old songs, like, hey, play Head again or play Soft and Wet. He's like, how do I explain that to the parents of the 15-year-olds that are in the crowd?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He says, you have the albums. You can hear the song anytime you want.
Mm-hmm.
When I go out on stage, there's children in the audience. I can't play those songs anymore. And that goes to show that he grew up.
Yeah.
And he realized he was not at that. He was at a different stage in his life at that time. So he wasn't going to put that out there because to people that didn't, I listened to when I was way too young, but I was like, what's masturbating?
He definitely evolved. Like, I do remember also being young and like I said, my parents were huge fans, like back in the days of CDs. Like, I feel like I can't talk about this without dating myself, but like definitely like opening the CD and reading the liner notes.
Oh yeah. The lyrics. Because and everything.
I was like, well, I'm not going to be able to play this, you know, because they're going to hear it, but I could definitely read. And I was like, oh, don't know what that means. Okay. All right. Interesting. But yeah, his influence, you know, and something else about Prince that I think is really unique. I feel like he is one of the few artists, almost no one covers his songs as well as the original. Have you noticed that?
Oh yeah.
I've seen so many artists, like rock artists, rap artists.
There was
R&B pop, like no one covers them well.
There was a band, I think it was in the 90s, that tried to do a cover of Kiss, the song Kiss. And I don't remember who in the hell it was, but I remember hearing that and I was like,
what is this mess?
What the hell? I was like, you need to
turn it off.
Resign. You need to stop making music. And from what I remember, I can't remember who in the heck it was. It was some 90s pop rock type person. I don't remember who in the hell it was. I'll end up finding it here eventually, but there was definitely something that should never have been made. And I don't remember who it was that made it. And I guess that is telling it.
It was that forgettable, right?
Yeah. So there has been a lot of people that have tried to remake some of his songs. And I think that since his death, the tributes that people have done, there's been actually some really good tributes that have been done. There's been a lot of even rock artists, metal artists that have done tributes that have stopped, turned the house lights all the way down and turned the purple lights on and have done their rendition of Purple Rain. And it's not a version I've ever heard before, but it's not bad. You know, let me see if I can find any of them.
Well, while you're doing that, I will say the quote in my personal opinion, because I will say I am a singer. Like, I like singing. I like belting. I don't like the whispered mumble singing. I'm like, no, voices, church voices, yeah. singing. There is one artist that a lot of your viewers might not know, an artist named Kiki Wyatt. She covered his song Diamonds and Pearls. And to me, that's the best cover I've ever heard of any of his songs, because she not only has a beautiful voice, but she's, I'm like, this girl is amazing. She's covering his song and she's crying while she's doing it, because this was after he had died, not too long after he died. Mm. And I was like, wow, that's talent, that you can actually cry while doing it and like not, her voice isn't shaking, isn't wavering. Like, if you get a chance, just go type in Kiki Y Diamonds and Pearls. It's incredible. It brought me to tears. It's so good.
Yeah. The band I was thinking about was Foo Fighters. Foo Fighters did a...
Yeah.
Drop It Down, and they did a version of... What was the song they did? Darling Nikki.
Oh.
So,
interesting choice.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have put them to do that song. And then, of all the songs, that's not the one I would have thought they would have done.
Yeah. You know, there was other artists that I remember seeing that had done it too as well, but different songs. I just can't off the top of my head remember. But one thing that I do know for sure, 100%, is that he has the best of all time Super Bowl halftime shows. By far, nobody can touch him.
Uh-oh. I'm going to ask you a question. Would you say, or when you say best, you mean better than Michael Jackson?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. 100%. 100%.
You didn't even
hesitate. No, 100%. Because the mixture of everything that happened that day, they tried to get him to cancel because of the rain.
Mm-hmm.
Guy wears high heels.
Yeah.
And, and there is electrical wiring all over the place. And the stage is one of his huge symbol, all lit up purple. Yes. There's electrical wiring and light bulbs everywhere. They were like, dude, you got to quit. I said, no, I can do this.
I respect it.
The best that show, because when he played Purple Rain and the lights went down and the purple lights popped up and it's raining, dude, get out of town.
Incredible. Speaking of which, do you know about the controversy with him and Justin Timberlake? I'm sure you do.
No, I don't.
Well, I didn't know this until I did some digging, because that's just what I do. So back in, the year that he died, what was that, 2017, 2016?
17.
Yeah, that year,
2016.
I guess 2016. So it must have been the Super Bowl after his death, basically.
Yeah.
Is when Justin Timberlake did the Super Bowl.
Oh.
And apparently him and Justin Timberlake had beef. I didn't know this till much later. Because, you know, Prince, he was an interesting character. He didn't like elevators and he did not like holograms. He was very adverse to technology.
Yeah, very big.
He did not like holograms. And he specifically had said while living that he did not want his likeness to be used in a hologram. And I remember this being all over social media, and it was very controversial that Justin Timberlake, knowing that they did not get along when he was living, he used a hologram of Prince during his performance.
I remember that.
I remember being like, ooh, I don't think he's going to like this. I thought that was disrespectful. I'm like, if someone specifically said they didn't want to do that, I don't think he should have done it.
Yeah, that's, I mean, I remember too, after his death, there was some talk about doing like a holographic concert at the Viking Stadium in Minneapolis. But his estate shut that shit down. Boom, right away. Nope.
Yeah.
Not happening. He was very, very specific about not wanting that. Let's talk about his guitar playing. Oh my gosh, dude.
Let's do it.
I cannot. I'm a huge fan of electric, of listening to guitar. I listen to all instrumental albums of guitar because, I mean, I love it. Always wanted to learn how to play, but just never got around to it.
Dude,
I got a guitar in the corner. I just never learned how to play it.
What?
I'm telling you. And listening to this guy play some of his solos, you're just like, the first time I think I ever really stopped and noticed his solo capabilities was it's a song called America that was on Pop Life, the album Pop Life. I think it might have been the final song on Pop Life. But in that song, he does this huge, not a huge, but he does a solo on the guitar. And I remember hearing that, stopping and being like, that dude's good. That was young. When did Pop Life come out? Let me see. I'm going to find that out right now, too.
I'm not sure. I'm really bad with what years things came out.
Sorry. The album was called Around the World in a Day. The Pop Life was a song that was on Around the World in a Day. Oh, no, she bounced out. Hopefully she'll be back. But anyway, that album came out in 1985. Wow, a year after Purple Rain. So let's see if... Let me see that. So that came out in 1985, and I specifically remember listening to that song, America, and hearing that guitar solo and thinking that it was the bomb. Let me see. Track list. And she's back.
It kicked me out. Sorry.
What the heck is going on?
Randomly went away.
Sorry, I was talking, and I was like, yeah, I got this.
Sorry.
So, yeah, I'm trying to figure out what the track list of Around the World in a Day was. Let me see.
While you're looking that up, can I say something?
Absolutely.
So I, too, you know, I'm coming from a very eclectic home. My parents have very eclectic music tastes. I always loved guitars, too, like growing up listening to Prince and Jimi Hendrix. And once I got old enough, I loved, like you mentioned, the Foo Fighters and Linkin Park and lots of, like, I've always loved rock. It's always been one of my favorite genres. And I love the guitars and those solos. Like, the thing that I love so much about his solos is that they've got so much dimension. Like, yep. There's so many layers, and he really was a genius, because I feel like a lot of artists, their music just doesn't have that same, like, where are the soaring guitar solos? I feel like I just don't hear them like that anymore. Yeah. Like, Metallica has some, but I feel like modern bands, I feel like they're just not, like, where are the epic soaring guitar solos of the 2020s?
You had to have seen the While My Guitar Gently Weeps, the video. While My Guitar Gently Weeps.
Mm-hmm.
That video that from... the Music Awards, or not Music Awards.
I know what you're talking about.
Rock and Roll Hall of Fame that he did with a bunch of different guitarists.
Yes.
Eric Clapton, you know, they were all there.
Oh.
Now, I heard a story about this. I don't know how much truth there is to it, but the story that I heard was that they were rehearsing. Everybody was rehearsing that song, but he did not want to rehearse.
Hmm.
He is like, no, I don't need to rehearse. And they were very, very worried that since he wasn't rehearsing, that it wasn't, there she goes again. She bounced once again. Look at that. Yeah. But while, I wonder if she'll get back in here in a second while I'm telling my story. Maybe I'll wait for her to get back in before I finish the story. Look at you.
My phone is being hater. It's Justin Timberlake.
I'm telling you, gotta be.
He's mad because I was talking about him. It's got to be him.
But he, what I heard, that he refused to. I don't know if he refused. He just said, "No, I don't need to practice." Mm-hmm. And I think it may be a pareidolia thing. It may be my own imagination as I'm watching the video. But they don't ever really go to him in that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know what you're saying.
Until the end, when he does that solo.
Yep.
Knocks it out of the park, and I think, from what I heard. Was that at that moment was that everybody on stage realized that he was a guitar genius.
That's a shame it took that long.
Yeah, I'm telling you. And I've heard so many rumors, you know, I've heard the story that somebody asked Eric Clapton, what's it like to be the best guitar player in the world? And he stopped and said, I don't know, ask Prince. I don't know how much truth in it. Again, it's one of those things you hear, you know, I don't know how much truth in it. I don't know if it is true, but I like it. I think it's fitting for the man.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I love, even, it's funny you say that. The other day I was listening to, because I'm a weirdo like this, I was like, I just want to hear some guitar solos. And so I go, if you just go to YouTube and type in like 100 best guitar solos, you'll hear people playing like literally all the best guitar solos. And there's several of his in there where you're like,
she snaps her fingers and she's gone. Well, in the meantime, She'll be back in here momentarily. I'm going to go ahead and play another recording. Actually, you know what? I might wait for her so she can listen to this. She can hear this next recording. But she seems to be couple minutes. Go for a couple minutes before she gets bounced out. Good thing this is a recording and not live. Let's take a quick pause.
We were fine the whole time.
I don't know.
I'm so sorry. I deleted some things. I closed out everything. I'm like, what is going on here? I'm sorry.
Well, I was going to jump into another audio clip that I have here that somebody sent me.
Okay.
So let's take a listen to Aaron. And full disclosure, Aaron, this recording is a friend of mine. I've known her for several years. And actually, when we found out that we were both fans of Prince, we were like, ooh, you're pretty cool. Let's hear what she has to say. Maybe it's not working.
Hi, my name is Erin Owak. I live in Florida. And my first experience with Prince was in 1985. I was in fifth grade, about 11 years old. And my parents gifted me the Purple Rain album, which is kind of crazy looking back that they gave me the album. I'm not quite sure they knew what they were giving me. I'm glad they didn't censor it. But it was one of my best gifts. Right away, I just connected and loved the funk, the beats, his voice. His voice is music to my ears. His notes that he hits, the vibe, the sexiness, the coolness of the whole tone of all of the songs. You know, the lyrics, I don't think I quite understood the lyrics at the age, I'm not sure. But what I could really appreciate and connect with is the spirituality. So in Purple Rain and Let's Go Crazy, even the playing Darling Nikki backwards, he talks about how the Lord is coming. And growing up in the church and being religious and spiritual, I could really appreciate that not only he made it cool, but he combined sexiness with it and sexuality. And I don't think I'd ever knew that you could do that. So you didn't have to do either or be either or. You could have both. You could be a spiritual person and a sexual person. And I love that. You know, I would read the lyrics. I would look at the inside jacket and the back of the album, and it was like poetry. And I could hear him saying those, and I memorized them, and I loved every bit about it. And instantly, I was in love. And he has been my favorite ever since. I still have all my albums. I still have my cassettes. I still have my CDs. I don't even think, which is crazy, that I appreciated him as a musician until later in life, and seeing him in concert multiple times and realizing how truly talented he is, and not just could write the lyrics, but, you know, was a true musician and is a full package, just so gifted. And so I've been a fan ever since. So yeah, my first experience, 1985, 11 years old, fifth grade, and just ever so thankful that my parents gave me that album. So that's where my love for Prince started, and it's never stopped.
Wow. Well, she's my age, so, you know, that her parents purposely my mom was trying to hide it from me, you know. But that's awesome, you know. And
she
brings up some like we were talking about earlier, you know, the sexuality and the spirituality. He was always balancing those out, and
in a way that few people can.
Yeah, No, I don't know that anybody else could really. I mean, he that was his thing.
That was his thing.
You know, a short man. What was he like? He was like 5'2", which is why he always wore heels. Huge basketball fan at 5'2". I don't know how that works out, but
yeah, how did that work out? I have another funny story that something. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Oh no, go ahead.
Something I was gonna say when she said her parents gifted her the album, I thought it was so funny. Have you ever seen the movie Sing 2?
Yeah.
Have you seen it with your kids?
Oh yeah.
So I had not seen it until after it had been out for a while, and my daughter Mariah was watching it, and I hear Prince, "Let's Go Crazy," and I'm like, yeah. "What are you watching?" You know, I was doing something, you know, and you know, let them watch a movie, yeah. And I was doing something.
Are you watching Purple Rain over there? What's going on?
Yeah, I was, you know, Prince is not really child friendly, so I was like, "What you watching?" It's just like it's Sing, and I'm like getting kind of nervous. I'm like, you know, these new movies can kind of push some boundaries. I'm like,
yeah, unfortunately,
I'm like listening intently, like, what version of the song are they going to play? You know, because I hear, I'm like, oh boy, I'm like sweating bullets. Like, what are they about to say? And I was like, okay, that was the first time I could say I heard Prince specifically in a children's movie, an animated movie. And somehow it worked.
You ever seen the movie Happy Feet with the penguins?
I have. What song? He has a song in there?
Yeah, he has a song in there too.
What song is he in there?
It was called Dadgummit. Now I gotta find it.
Because the one with the penguins, right?
Yeah, I watch it with the kids. They like it. It's called The Song of the Heart.
Oh, okay. Okay. It's been a while since I've seen that one.
It's a good song. Now, man, I have so many stories and experiences I could go on about Prince. Some of them are not appropriate to be shared on the airway. I tell you, I owe a lot to Prince in my younger years for experiencing some things of a sexual nature, I'll say.
Keep it PG.
I'm trying to keep it, you know, but I owe him a lot for that. And but another thing that Aaron said was that she didn't really appreciate him as an artist until later in life. And I was the same way. I loved his music. I've always loved his music. But it wasn't until, I want to say, probably the Gold album, maybe later, that I actually started appreciating the artist himself. Because I started actually listening to the music more. And the Gold album is full of, you know, the Gold album has, you know, Pussy Control, you know, a bunch of, you know, Endorphin Machine, I Hate You. It's got a bunch of songs in there that are awesome. But that's when I really started realizing that this guy's an awesome artist as well as just, you know, get me draws as well, you know. So, you know, and, you know, I grew up in Northwest Ohio, and we used to go to once a year in Toledo, Ohio. They used to have this thing called Prince Fest.
Hmm.
It wasn't sanctioned or authorized by Prince or Paisley Park Studios, nothing. It was just something, the Holiday Inn, you know, you go down to one at the local, it was a Holiday Inn motel or hotel, and a couple of conference rooms, they would clear them out, and it'd have vendors and, you know, impersonators and stuff there. I got so many cool t-shirts and I got so many bootlegs at those events. It wasn't even, I'm telling you. And I remember going to those things once a year just to get t-shirts. And I was like, if I find some more bootlegs, cool, but I just want to get I'm telling you, Martina, I probably had about 20, 30 Prince t-shirts.
I believe you.
Where they at now, I have no clue. I had one of those big, CD binders that held like, I don't know, 100 CDs.
I remember those.
Smack full of Prince CDs, bootlegs and everything. Wow. And I was like,
I believe it.
I had no idea when to hold that one either. Damn.
You'll find it. You'll come across it.
No, I think somebody probably stole that one. Because that's a lot of good albums.
Did I tell you about, speaking of a Prince Fest, I stumbled across something One of my clients sent me something because people know my business now. They just send me things that are press related. And one of my clients sent me something. I didn't know this existed. There's a Prince Fest in North Carolina on May 4th. Or it's not a Prince Fest. It's more of like a Prince themed event that has vendors and such. Unfortunately, I'm not going to be able to participate. But I was like, oh, wow, I didn't know there was such a thing.
Is this what you told me about?
It's at a place. Yes, it's a winery called, I think it's called Seven Springs Winery in somewhere in North Carolina. I can't remember the city. It's a city that I've never heard of before. But they have all kinds of themed events. They have Beyonce themed events, Michael Jackson themed events. They have 80s, 70s. Like, it's a Black-owned winery, and they go out of their way to make sure that they're hosting events that will help people celebrate Black music. When I saw there was a Prince event, I was like, ooh, I'm going to see if I can do that. I'm not going to be able to go, but it sounds pretty cool.
It's in Norlina.
There you go. There you go. That's it.
Trying to see how far it is from me.
I had never heard of Norlina before.
Oh, that's up there. That's up close to the Virginia, North Carolina border.
Oh, so Zimbabwe. I got you.
It's out there. It's about, looks like it's about an hour from hour northeast of Durham.
I had never been there or heard of it, but someone sent it to me and I was like, oh man, this is pretty cool.
Yeah, I remember you sending me that and I was watching some videos of that. It's like a Prince impersonator band. Basically, they do all the music and everything. I was watching some videos on them and they're pretty darn good. That's something I forgot about that. Thanks for reminding me because
you're welcome.
I'm going to have to hit that up. I'm telling you.
I was like, if there's anyone who would go to this, Damon is definitely the one who would go.
Oh, yeah. And this is, I have one favorite artist, musical artist, and that's Prince. I have a whole slew of other ones that I like to listen to. But I have one favorite, and that's Prince. And I will listen. When I was moving up here from Florida, it's a 10-hour drive. For 10 hours, I listened to nothing but Prince.
That's a lot of Prince.
I'm telling you. Well, it was broken up, you know, because, of course, you got to stop for gas and you need the bathroom and get to eat. But listen to a lot of – I have all kinds of Prince music.
He's got the discography to do it.
I'm telling you. And they keep releasing more, and it's awesome.
They do.
Go ahead.
Have you ever been to Paisley Park?
No.
I have not either.
And this is
I've gotten that question a lot. No, I have not.
I lived in Minnesota for a year. Minneapolis. And I drove by Chanhassen a lot. Hmm. And every time I drove by, I was like, I gotta stop. I gotta go to Paisley Park. And this is when he was still alive. So I was kind of like, but I can't just randomly stop by Paisley Park. I'd probably get shot or something, you know. I'm like, you know, come on. So I really kicked myself in the ass a lot for not stopping when I was there. But that's one of my bucket list things before I die is I will go to Paisley Park, you know, and I will see those hallowed sacred grounds there.
You should definitely do it. I would like to do it too, because I've seen like pictures and videos, but no, I have not been.
Looks spectacular.
It does look pretty cool.
I want to play this last. I have one more story here that I want to play real quick because we're about we're close to an hour into this, so I want to let's play this last recording here real quick.
All right, I'm a retired NYPD officer turned actor. I retired back in 2013, and I've been acting ever since. I have my own movies, a couple of movies I put out. I'm in the process of releasing my book, The House on Laurel Lake. Look out for that. Anyhow, here's my Prince story. I grew up on the Lower East Side of Manhattan, called a little area called LES. They call it East Village now. And when I was growing up in my teenage years, I went to church and I played instruments in the church. So as I was growing up, I didn't like Prince. I was into music, but I didn't like Prince. I was into like deep R&B, and I thought his sound was a little more on like the pop side and like the rock side, and I didn't like that. So I joined this band one day called Trix, with three X's at the end. We was like, you know, supposed to be a sexy, erotic band. And all the band members loved Prince, and I hated Prince, and I couldn't tell them. And then one day, this was before Purple Rain came out, they was getting excited about Friday night. What's happening Friday night? Purple Rain comes out. And I'm like, oh, that guy, huh? So they dragged me to see Purple Rain. And you talking about Cupid went up my ass? I fell in love with Prince that night. I went back to see Purple Rain every day that week. We already had Jerry Curls, but I took my Jerry Curls and I laid it to the side like Prince. I had leather boots. We wore purple. And that's my Prince story. So one day, here's my other Prince story. So one day, I'm in the midst of being my Prince hype. Sheila E. is playing at the Ritz. And I'm like, oh, that's a Prince disciple. I'm going to see anything Prince. So I'll go, I get tickets, and we go to the Ritz. I don't know if you remember the Ritz was back. It was a little famous spot where all the headliners came in New York on the Lower East Side, too. And so we went one night to see Sheila E. And now this is a club now. It's not a theater. So you're standing watching the show. And I was like on the stage. I was like the first one at the stage. And the stage was like came up to my waist. So we watching Sheila E. We having fun. And all of a sudden she says, I want to bring out my friend. And I just started screaming like a girl. I said, ah! And she said, ladies and gentlemen, Prince. Prince comes out with his guitar, and he walks exactly in front of where I was standing, so close that I reached out and I was like touching his boot, his purple boot in his leg while he was singing Erotic City. I'll never forget it. So that was my Prince story.
That is awesome. What a story.
Prince story. No, listen, Prince story number three. This is going to be the greatest one.
All right.
Flash forward. I'm on a job. This must have been like 10 years ago. I'm having a party. Now, there's this club in the village that I go to called The Groove. It's been there for years. Prince used to go there before he became Prince. A lot of artists go there to see, you know, new up-and-coming acts. So I would go there all the time. Actually, I started promoting a band that was there. So this particular year, I'm going to have my birthday party at The Groove. Everybody, you know, was going to go. Everybody's excited. But a lot of my officer friends talked me out of it because they was in the Bronx and nobody wanted to travel all the way down to the village. And I listened. And I switched the party from The Groove to this nice spot in the Bronx. That night, the night of my party, guess who came to The Groove?
No.
I almost fucking fell the fuck out when they told me the next morning. Yo, Prince came to The Groove last night. We have a band there called Nicki Minaj.
Yep.
Tony Minaj, not Nicki, Tony Minaj. She was performing that night. And she called me. She said, yo, Ray, Prince. And I introduced him. He never got up and anything. He just acknowledged the crowd. He stayed for her set and left. I was heated. The steam was coming out of my ears.
Wow.
Okay, cool. The next day, I'm having a little after celebration, everything. I tell everybody I miss Prince the next night. I miss Prince. I said, they said, let's go down to The Groove. I said, I don't want to go down the fucking Groove. The fucking guy was here yesterday. I missed him. Let's stay in the Bronx. I stayed in the Bronx. You're not going to believe this, Mr. Beattie. He came to The Groove again that night. He came the next fucking night. I said, you fucking kidding me. He came the next fucking night. I swear on my fucking kids.
Oh, my God.
Are you fucking kidding me? Are you fucking kidding me?
Two nights.
He was doing something in the city. And he was hanging because he went to the... He was spotted at a lot of spots that night. He was at the Village Underground. He was at The Groove and some other places in Manhattan. And I cannot believe it. And those are my Prince stories.
Those are awesome. Wow. Those are. And that was, am I on? Yeah. That was Ray Marcus, actually, from New York. You can definitely tell he's a New Yorker, right? Are you there? Can I hear you?
I'm here. Can you hear me? I can hear you.
I'm just kidding.
I was about to say, oh my God.
So that was Ray Marcus. Now he had some experiences with the man in person, which you cut out, so you probably missed some of that good story there where he was, boy, this guy here, I'm telling you.
I came in on the end. I heard a lot of passion.
Yeah, he's, you can definitely tell he's from New York.
For sure.
You know, do you have any final stories? Anything you want to say?
I do. I'm going to say this and hope and pray that I don't cut out. I do. This was something that was kind of funny to me. A couple years ago, I was buying something from a lady off of Facebook Marketplace. I don't even remember what it was. I want to say it was a chair or something. And I go into, you know, if you've ever bought or sold anything on Facebook Marketplace, you're kind of playing with your life, just hoping that you don't get killed. And the lady, you know, she seemed, you know, I was a little bit naive, but I was like, she seems nice. You know, it's fine. I'll go inside. And I was like, hey, you know, come inside. And so I'm going in
her house.
Yes, it was at her house. Ooh. But I felt safer because I had like she left the front door open and, you know, I carry. So I was ready. So I'm like, we'll be OK. So I go in there to like get this chair. It was a chair. It was some piece of furniture. I remember that because what overshadowed it was looking around, you know, I'm like, And I look and I see it. She has this beautiful hand-drawn picture of Prince on her dresser area, like a shelf or something. And I was like, oh my gosh, that is so unique. And it was unmistakably Prince because it was like a side profile, like meshed into like his logo. And it was really cool. And I was like, wow, like, that's really awesome. Where did you get that? And she's like, oh, my friend, that's an artist. He made it for me. Do you like Prince? I was like, yeah, I like Prince. Like, you're a fan? I'm like, yeah, I'm a fan. Yeah. I was like, that was so cool. Just like this random lady that had this, it was beautiful. I have a picture of it somewhere in my phone. Because I was like, do you mind if I take a picture of this? She was like, yeah, sure. I just thought that was just like a random, this random woman that I had never met or seen before. You know, Prince brings random people together.
And he does. And I was fortunate, like Aaron, when she was talking, I was fortunate enough to see him in concert a few times. Now, the first time I ever saw him in concert, I was working third shift at a factory. Mm-hmm. And the concert was Friday evening. So Thursday, we went into work. We got off Friday morning. One of the things we always did on Friday mornings was go to the bar and drink. At like
Friday morning?
6 o'clock in the morning. Yeah, we just got off of work.
Okay.
And there was bars that were specifically open catering to that group of people that were just getting off work. So I told myself, you know, I was like, you know what? I can't drink too much because I'm going to see Prince tonight. And actually, my brother was going with me. One of my best friends was we were all going to Detroit, Michigan to see Prince. This was the first time I had seen him, I think. Yep. And you ever heard of this alcohol called Tequila Rose?
Yes, I have.
I'll never drink it again.
Don't do it.
Ever.
I also had bad experiences with it. Don't do it.
Because I remember going to the Prince concert. I cannot remember what show this was. I can't remember the play. All I remember is that we had decent seats. They weren't the best. They weren't the worst, but they were decent seats. And I remember getting to the show feeling like I was going to throw up. But a half an hour into the show, I was like, no way. Because this man had so much energy and everything on stage that it just like reverberated. And I was just like, I'm fine. Let's get down.
He sobered you up.
And I had an awesome night that night. I bought a lot of bootleg stuff in the parking lot. Prince bootleg stuff in the parking lot. Get the best stuff out in the parking lots. I'm telling you, of these concerts. But that was one of my first experiences with the concert with Prince. And I tell you, I swear He played for like 2 hours straight. Left the stage.
I've heard that about it.
Left the stage. And then I'm looking around. I'm like, is it over? Let's go. And then you hear the drum. Sheila E. was on the drums. I remember that. Hmm. You hear the drums again. Her going up. And turn around. What the hell? He comes out and plays another hour show.
Wow.
I was
Good thing you didn't leave.
I'm like, 3 hour show is what we got. And I was like, those tickets are well worth it. And this is when he was, of course, he was still doing the splits and all this dancing and this high energy stuff. Now I know that later on in his life, he had to pull back from that. He did a lot of damage to his joints and his bones from doing that for years and years and years and years. People loved it. But unfortunately, that's what got him into some painkillers because of that as well. But I don't want to dwell on that. We had a good time tonight, Martina. I want to thank you so much for hanging out with me and talking about his royal badness.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. And where can anybody out there that wants to find Purple Rain Candle Company, where can they find that at?
You can head on over to purplereincandles.com. That's R-E-I-G-N. And you can follow my social media. I'm on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, wherever you want to be. I am there. We have candles, wax melts, room sprays, beard oils, as you see Damon with his illustrious beard. We also have scalp oils. We have a little bit of something for everyone.
I still have a little bit that I use of that still.
There you go. And we do have a Purple Rain signature scent that is lavender and rain, and that is one of my best sellers. And yes, it is purple. So please head on over there and grab yourself one so your house could smell like fresh.
It is awesome. Are you going to be at the Sanford Farmers Markets again this coming up?
So unfortunately this year, I am not going to be participating in the market. I've had to make some adjustments in business, and right now I'm focusing more on less in-person vending and more online vending and also wholesale.
So you're at that level now.
We're trying to be.
Oh,
it's some leaps of faith. So I am not going to be at the market this year, but don't worry. You can shop online anytime. Purple candle stuff.
Yeah, you don't live too far from me either. I'll just send you a message, be like, hey, I need this.
Absolutely. And actually, I ship anywhere in the U.S.
I still have this one.
Oh, this, yeah.
This is the only one that has not been burnt yet.
Oh, man. I'm glad you still have one.
So I will be needing some candles soon.
Hey, I also have pillar candles now, too. That's something you might not know. I have pillar candles, as in a candle that's not in a jar. It's a standalone candle. Oh. And then I also have apothecary jar candles. So head on over.
Yeah. Go check that out.
Please do.
Once again, Martina, I want to thank you so much for hanging out with me, talking about the Purple One himself, Prince Rogers Nelson. He was born June 7th, 1958, died April 21st. Sometimes it does snow in April, but we have the man's music and his legacy, which will live on for all eternity, as far as I'm concerned. Right? That's it. Everybody out there, sweet dreams. Love, peace, and chicken grease, baby.
I made it. I don't know why I kept cutting out. That's never-